Hi, I'm Emily. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. We are so glad you chose to spend part of your week with us. We're one church in three locations and online, and we hope this is a place that you can learn more of who Jesus is and find a community to grow and serve with. If this is your first time here, head to our website and click the I'm New button to learn more, or stop by Connection Point at your site for a welcome card. Middle school and high school students, you're invited to Snow Camp. Join us in February for a fun, welcoming, and meaningful weekend in the beautiful North Woods of Wisconsin. Students can play broomball, go skiing, tubing, and spend time learning more about God together. You can register on our website by January 19th. At Black Hawk, we believe we are meant to do life in community with each other. And one of the ways we do this is through life groups. Life groups meet weekly, online or in homes, and provide a great opportunity to engage in community while diving deeper into the Sunday message. Groups are made up of all life stages, from college age to parents, or multi-generational. If you'd like to find a life group, visit our website. Groups begin as early as next week, and we'd love for you to be part of one. Where do you go to find answers to the big questions about faith, God, and life? Many of us have questions but don't have a safe place to talk about them. Starting on Thursday, January 13th, Black Hawk is hosting Alpha, an open and informal conversation about faith and Jesus. Each week, we'll explore questions like, who is Jesus? What does it mean to have faith? And what does the Holy Spirit do? If you're interested in joining the conversation, you can register on our website. To learn more about any of these opportunities, visit our website. If you'd like to share a prayer request, get more info about our ministries, or find out how to start serving, stop by Connection Point on your way out today, or connect with us online. Thanks again for joining us today, and Happy New Year. Well, hello, everyone. Happy New Year. All right, let's do it one more time, so I'm a little more excited. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. All right, that's more like it. Well, welcome everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us too if you're online with us. We know in this room we've got some people joining us who would normally be in our Gospel Fusion or our Traditions venues as well. So welcome to all of you. My name is Hannah Bussey. I'm on our Worship Arts staff team, and it's good to start off a new year with our first worship service gathered together in 2022. So as we get rolling this morning, I want to invite you to stand if you're able. Join us in singing. We're going to sing about our decision this morning to praise and glorify our God. No matter where we're at in life this morning, let's focus our attention on Him and give Him glory, give Him honor and attention this morning. So here we go. Thank you.
Worship service of the year 2022. And I think it's kind of milestone moments like these in our lives where it's especially good spiritual practice for us to not just look forward, but also to look backwards. The scripture talks so much about remembering what God has done, praising Him for His works, praising Him for what the ways in which He's been faithful. And so before we continue on this morning, I just want to invite us to take a minute of just some quiet reflection on the last year of your life. Where has God been faithful to you? Where has God met you in a place of need with His provision and His faithfulness? So just take a minute in the quiet of your own hearts. Let's reflect on the ways God has been faithful to us and thank Him for that before we continue on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you have been good, that you have been faithful to us. As we stand on the brink of a new year, we declare your faithfulness. Everyone, let's sing this well-known hymn about the faithfulness of our God.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Above.
sing it to him.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Sing it out, church. Great is your faithfulness unto me, unto us. You have been a shelter, Lord, and a refuge to every generation, including ours. And you will continue to be faithful, our shelter, our refuge, our rock, the righteous one, the just God, the most high and holy God, deserving of worship and praise, the God who gives us grace, the God who has loved us first. All this and more you will continue to be, and we thank you, Lord, for that on the brink of a new year, that we can worship you and ground ourselves in your truth. We pray these things in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is good to be here with you all and worshiping, a great way to start the new year. If you're here in the room with us, why don't you guys go ahead and grab a seat? Welcome to everyone watching online. It is great to have you with us. Whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or our website, if you're using the online chat, maybe just go in there real quick, say hi, tell us where you're watching from, but it is great to have you with us today. And as Hannah said earlier, we have some friends from the Traditions and the Gospel Fusion communities joining us as well as our fifth and sixth graders. What's up, guys? We're glad to have you with us today as well for the entire service. Well, happy new year as well. All right, be honest, show of hands. How many people actually made it to midnight? Anybody? Not, okay, that's better than I thought it would be. We watched the ball drop with our kids at about 7 o'clock. Some might call that lying. I think that that's strategic. Like, they thought, you know, it's New Year somewhere at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. So we had fun with that and glow sticks and the whole deal. But happy New Year. I hope that you and your loved ones are healthy and happy and had just a great time celebrating. We at Blackhawk had an awesome time celebrating here for Christmas at Blackhawk. And thanks again for joining us online for that. It was just so cool to be able to worship together in that way, both in person in all of our different venues, but also with our online community as well. So I hope that helped you really to celebrate and to take in the birth of Jesus and the hope that he brings. With that, maybe some of you are returning after coming for the first time on Christmas for one of those Christmas services. Thanks so much for coming back. I know that that's a big step, and we're glad to have you with us. Or maybe you're watching online. You've been tuning in the last few months or something like that, but you're relatively new. We're just so glad that you're here. We want to help you guys get connected, answer any questions that you might have. So January is actually a great opportunity to do that. that, to get connected here at Blackhawk Church. So first, here at Brader Way on January 9th, so next Sunday, we're actually going to have a welcome gathering. So you'll get to hear from some of our staff and some of our pastors about more about our church and ways to get connected and that sort of thing. So you can sign up online at the Brader Way page for that, or if you're here in the room, head on out to Connection Point or the info desk, and they'd love to help you with that. And the other thing is that January, we're going to be highlighting opportunities to serve and to get connected to groups. And so today in particular, you heard Emily at the beginning and what's happening, talking about opportunities to get connected to groups. And I want to highlight that again, because we believe that life is better together. When we are trying to take our faith seriously and trying to grow and become the kind of people that Jesus created us to be, we need other people in our lives who have that same mission and that same goal to come alongside of us. So we want to help you find a place that is a good fit, and there's all sorts of different groups that are available. So again, head to the website for that. It's blackhawk.church/groups, or again, for those in the room, you can head out to Connection Point or talk with a staff person afterward. But we hope that you'll find an opportunity to get connected in January. All right, last thing that I have is that we are starting a new series that will last for the next 4 weeks. We're really excited about this. So without further ado, check this out.
A new series starting January 2nd, which is today. So welcome, everybody, to Blackhawk Church. Happy New Year. Yeah, man, it's so good to have you all in the room with us. Welcome to everybody joining us online, as well as everybody at Blackhawk Downtown, Blackhawk Fitchburg. What's up, you all? So good to have you. And man, so good for us to have a chance to be able to gather. My name is Matt, and I'm one of the pastors on staff, and we're really excited about this new series that we're starting today called I'm Fine. Because I'm fine is the thing that we say when we are actually not all that fine. We talked about actually at our Christmas services, as well as in Worship Where You Are, that life has kind of been like a roller coaster that we have been on. And by that, I don't mean the good kind. I mean just the act of the highs and lows of life that just keep coming at us. And we're not exactly sure when we're going to be able to get off that roller coaster. For some of you as parents, in Madison, you found out your kids are going to be home a little bit longer. And I talked to some of you in the atrium right before, and you're like, yeah, I'm fine. Which I totally get what it is that you're saying. You know, it's like that line in the Christmas song, and mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again. Yeah, not happening. So you're fine. And we have all kinds of things like that that happen right now in our lives. Case in point, I actually wasn't supposed to be here this Sunday. I was supposed to be down in South Florida on a beach. And yet we found out right before Christmas that my dad had COVID. And I talked about that at Christmas services. He ended up in the hospital for a few days. Then, praise God, he made a turn. He came home, so he's doing well. Yeah, thank you. So, but My mom then got COVID, so they're fine, you know, so they went through all of that. We talked to them just the other day. They've really turned a corner, and they're doing better. But it's the roller coaster of life that we are on. And so we weren't supposed to be here right now. So in light of that, we knew Charles wasn't going to be here. So in light of the first week of the series, we knew we were going to need to find a speaker, somebody who was going to be able to, to be able to bring the message. And we were looking at things, and we realized, wait a minute. We got a new staff person who is starting the beginning of January. I think he's an intern, and we were really, really excited to take a look at this guy and see if he had the chops, you know, to be up here. So we figured we'd give him a trial run. So in all seriousness, our senior pastor, our previous senior pastor, who was our senior pastor here at Blackhawk Church for 27 years, Pastor Chris Dolson, has now been on really a sabbatical for 6 months. And one of the first things that I did as the new senior pastor when he was on sabbatical was to hire him back. And so we have hired Chris on. Some of you might not even have realized that. We hired him back on part-time to come in and work with our teaching team to help train some of our younger teachers to speak on a semi-regular basis and to do some different things really within the denomination and within our church. And so we figured, well, if he's coming back in January, man, chop, chop, let's get that guy moving. So we figured January 2nd, let's get him up here for the first week of this series. So at all sites, all venues, online, if you're sitting at home or wherever it is that you are, and everyone in the room, would you join me right now in welcoming to the stage, First Person 2022, Pastor Chris Dolson. Oh. That's so kind. You are standing for me. I love that. So I really appreciate it so much. Awesome. All right, I'm going to get out of the way now.
All right. That was awesome, you guys. Thank you. Hey, you guys have low expectations. I've not been doing this for 6 months, so there you go. Hey, thank you, Matt, for hiring me back. So appreciate that. And thank all of you. And thank those of you who are watching online, those of you who are at Fitchburg and downtown, for so many thank you cards that my wife and I got that you wrote last spring and summer. We got over hundreds and hundreds of them, and some of you just wrote pages and pages. And the stories that we read about what God has done in your life is just amazing. So thank you for sharing those things. Thank you for praying for my wife and I for the last 6 months to have a great sabbatical, because we have had a, we're not just fine, we're like way better than fine right now. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We heard from so many of you. We heard from people all over Wisconsin, all over the United States. We heard from people in Jakarta, Tel Aviv, Singapore. So those of you who are watching in those places, so thank you so much. And I got to say thank you to Pastor Charles Yu, who's the lead teacher on the teaching team, for risking having me up here for the to start the series. So thanks to him for that. And I'm excited about this series. So we're calling this series, I'm Fine, I'm Fine. How God meets us when we're actually not fine. Here's the calendar for the series. This is what we're going to do. Today's January 2nd. Exhaustion, I have that talk. January 9th, anger, Charles does that. Anxiety, Matt's got that. He's the senior pastor. He's got all the anxiety in the world. He should do that talk. January the 23rd, discontent, Michael Napstad. Does anybody see anything funny about this slide? Who gets the exhaustion talk? I'm the least exhausted person any of you actually know. I just had 6 months off. I could do a handstand right now. I mean, I've got so much energy. You guys, I'm the least exhausted person anybody knows. I get the exhaustion talk. It's a short talk. Here's the talk. Work a job for 27 years, get 6 months off, get off of all social media, answer no emails, and you'll be absolutely fine. How's that talk work for you? Does that work for you? It's great, awesome. So there we go. Let me close in prayer, get the worship team back up here. My New Year's gift to you, short message, awesome. Hey, say it really doesn't really work that way, does it? Because many of us are like, we're like my wife's iPhone. Here's a picture of my wife's iPhone. See how many apps she's got? Look at the top right corner. Her iPhone looks like that constantly. She's constantly draining, and her battery is constantly, you know, just about not there at all. Incidentally, it would be cool if we all had little icons above our heads, wouldn't it, that you walk around? You look at me, I'm at like 100% battery right now. But many of us are like, you know, 2%. Some of us are like zero. And like, we are like, what? We say Happy New Year just because tradition. Not because we really mean it. Because we are like done. COVID-19, whoa. 2 years of this? Whoa, really? I mean, it is just exhausting. None of us ever been through it, and we're going through it. And then the Omicron virus, and then just what Madison schools did this week, and no school tomorrow, and they're trying to make a decision, and that just brings the anxiety level up, like what? You know, Matt's got the anxiety talk. I'm gonna let him handle that one. But we're just like, whoa. Holidays, yeah, that's exhausting. For some of us, that's the most exhausting time of the year. Not only do like we decorate, but we travel. Many of us are watching right now in an airport someplace. And travel this holiday season? Whoa, it's totally exhausting. Our jobs are exhausting. Relationships are exhausting. Mostly just disappointing. Many of us are like, our batteries are completely on empty. And we are like, we're done. We're done here. Some of us just working up the courage to even go online right now and just watch a talk, worship. Maybe that'll help us. We're depleted. A lot of the things that deplete us come from the outside, but we do things ourselves that also deplete our battery. We speak lies to ourselves. Here are a couple of those lies. First lie goes like this. I don't need to rest. I don't need to rest. I'm okay. I'm fine. I just keep going and going and going. You know, the model that we have in our life is this bunny right here. You know, that's the model. I'm good. I keep going and going and going and going. You guys, if we're followers of Christ, that's the wrong model. Jesus should be who we follow. And we know Jesus. Did he ever get exhausted? Absolutely. He got exhausted many times. Here's one of those times. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. The Greek for asleep means asleep. Mark and Matthew also record this story, and when Mark records this story, he says he got a pillow in the stern of the boat, and he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Three of the gospel writers include this story. They don't include this story to let us know that he was exhausted. They include this story to let us know that he had the power over nature. But we also see in this story that the most powerful human being that ever lived also got totally exhausted. Go back to that verse. They got into the boat, set out, and they sailed. He fell asleep. And the squall came down, the lake, the boat was being swamped. You ever been in a small boat? And had like this. Can you go to sleep in that? Anybody who goes to sleep in that is like totally, what? He's exhausted. Now, if the most powerful person who's ever lived can get totally exhausted, I'm just saying that you can get exhausted too. And when you get exhausted, you should sleep. Don't buy the lie that you don't need rest. You need rest. Here's the second lie. I'm responsible for it all. I'm responsible for it all. If you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself. Those of us who have extra responsibility gene, like mothers and people like that, we're like, yeah, I got to do it. That lie will kill you. Almost killed Moses. We read in the book of Exodus. When his father-in-law, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, I love this, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Some of us buy the lie like Moses. No, I'm responsible for everything. I'm responsible for everything. I do it all by myself. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. That's a lie. And that will wear you out. What you need is a couple of Jethros come into your life and sit you down and go, "Hey, look, what are you doing here?" I had a couple of Jethros come into my life and sit me down several years ago, and they just said, "Look, you're going to kill yourself. You're not going to last." They happened to use a book with me that I found real helpful. I'm going to recommend it right now for you guys. It's by Greg McCowan. It's called Essentialism: The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. Time management cannot be a reactive process. Time management must be a proactive process. You cannot delegate time management to anybody else. You need to be responsible for that. And you can sit down with a couple of Jethros in your life? Sit down with a couple of Jethros, maybe buy that book, and pursue less. Because it's not all up to you. Don't buy that lie. Here's another lie. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. We also call this FOMO. It's the fear of missing out, or YOLO. You only live once. You know this fear? We get this from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, social media. We see what other people are doing. We look at what they're doing. We go, "Oh, I got to do that. 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 I got to do that." The writer of Ecclesiastes addresses that issue. He writes this: "And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." Hey, let's participate in the sermon right now. Everybody clear your hands. Make sure there's nothing in your hands right now. Can you do that, everybody watching at home? Here you go. Take both hands, hold them in front of you like this, and then make two fists like this. Grab onto two things like this. This is exhaustion. This spells exhaustion. You've got to do your work. You've got to do relationships. You've got to do that. You don't have time and energy to do all the other things that everybody else is doing. That spells exhaustion. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, do like this. Just let go of some of that other stuff. You're probably doing it because of envy of others anyway. Just get rid of that. One hand full is better than two hands full. Here's one more lie. And this is the most powerful lie. I must work hard to be accepted. Pastor Chris, if you knew the truth, Pastor Chris, I mean, you know. I've got a dad that I'll never ever please. If I don't live up to his expectations, I've got an advisor, Pastor Chris. You wouldn't believe this advisor if I don't do it. I've got a boss, Pastor Chris. Hey, listen, you know what? Honestly, many of us work and live around people, and it doesn't matter how hard we work our tails off, we will never please them. Ever. So what do you do? Here's my piece of advice. Stop trying. Just stop trying. You're not responsible for what other people say, do, and think. You're only responsible for what you say and do and think. And if you live your life based upon what other people want you to do, good luck with that. How's that working for you? The person you should live your life for is Jesus Christ. And here's the news. He totally accepts you. Everybody listen. He totally accepts you. Just the way you are. Because his acceptance of you is based upon grace. Grace means there's nothing I can do to cause him to love me more. Grace means there's nothing I can do to cause him to love me less. It's unmerited favor. You guys, a lot of us are struggling with this right now because we got a parent. That parent might have even died years ago, and we're still trying to please that person. Just stop that and live your life for someone who accepts you just the way you are. In fact, that person says to you, especially in your exhausted state, come. Just come to me. There's a verse in the New Testament where Jesus actually says that, and we're going to look at it right now. But before we look at that verse, I want to warn you about this verse, because this verse is, it doesn't make sense. In this verse, he gives the remedy for exhaustion. I mean, he does. He says, you do this, you're going to rest. But I'm going to tell you right now, what he says sounds wrong. If you got a Bible, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. These are the words of Jesus. This is what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary, and let me stop right there. I'm too excited right now about this passage. Those of us who are just dying, you know, our battery's like on zero. Quit texting people right now. This is what Jesus says to you. Come to me. Oh, you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, what's that word? Rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now remember, the Bible's not written to us. It's written for us, not to us. In this passage, Jesus is actually speaking to disciples in the ancient Near East who know a lot about agriculture. And so most of us, I would bet, have never put a yoke on oxen and like worked a field. But to those disciples, what he says right here doesn't make any sense. Here's a picture of a yoke. two oxen, and this big thing right here. That's a yoke. Most of us, like, never really. Only time we ever see a yoke is in a restaurant that serves bacon and eggs or something like that. Two oxen, a yoke. That's about work. I mean, you don't need to know much about all of this to just look at that. That's not about this. Yoke and rest don't go together. Yoke and work go together. See, it'd make more sense if Jesus said, take my pillow upon you and rest for a while. Take my blanket upon you. Take my chair and rest. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, what's happening here? Yoke and rest. It's like a paradox. It doesn't work together. Let's try to solve this puzzle by becoming an ox. So, like, I'm an ox. And I got this yoke on my neck. And that means I'm connected to, I got a teammate here. I'm connected to this teammate. I'm a yoke, I'm an adult. That means I'm about 4 to 8 years old. I could live to be 15, but I'm like, you know, I'm like 6 years old. And I'm stronger than any horse, and I'm smarter than any dog. I only need about 4 hours of sleep at night, so I make a great worker. And because I'm so smart, I can understand commands really well. And I'm never alone because I work best connected to a teammate. And I'm also connected to a master. I don't have to decide, like, where to go. My master always tells me. Sometimes when I'm working, I see that there's some grass over there that I'd like to go over there. So I try to go over there. Right? We can't because I'm connected to this guy right here. And then my master, he's pulling on the rein. No, sometimes I see another group of oxen, and they're, like, moving faster. They're going faster, faster, faster. And I say, well, you'd pick up the pace a little bit. I can't do that because I'm connected. I'm connected here. Can't do that. I'm connected here, and I'm connected back there. See, yoke is about being connected to someone else. Take my yoke upon you. And then what else did he say? He says, and what? Let's look at the passage again. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Me. Learn is an English word. It translates the Greek word mathetes. Mathete. Mathete. Listen to that word, mathete. We get our English word mathematics from that word. It literally means to learn. Disciples translates the Greek word mathetes. A disciple is not someone who's perfect. A disciple is not necessarily a follower. A disciple is a learner. Jesus says, take my yoke, be connected to me, be connected to my Father, and learn. Well, what are we supposed to learn? What do we learn? How do we learn? How do we learn from him? Well, we can, first sermon back, you guys, wait for it. We can read the Bible. Duh. Read the Bible. Well, where do I start? Matthew, that's a good place to start. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a good place. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And if you pick up the Sermon on the Mount, you guys are the first of the year. Here's a good assignment. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Just read that over and over, and you'll learn that Jesus thinks that prayer is really important. Go into your room, close the door. Pray to your Father who's unseen, your Father who sees what you do in secret. Well, when you pray, don't keep on praying and babbling like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. When you pray, pray like this. And he actually gives us a model prayer. Don't just love those who love you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who pray. You learn that. You can learn to not judge other people. Don't judge lest you be judged. You learn those things when you're yoked to Jesus. Some of you say to me, well, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. Let me ask you a question. You got time for Netflix? You got time for that? You got time to watch movies? You got time for social media? You got time for Facebook? I'm just going to push back. You got time. What are you doing? Some of you push back and you go, yeah, I read the Sermon on the Mount. No. Some of those things in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that's like an impossible ethic that he puts out there. You know, nobody can perfectly do everything in the Sermon on the Mount. Like, it's impossible. I get that. But you know, Jesus is the kind of teacher who even makes learning impossible things that we think are impossible kind of fun, actually. Because he is, what would that passage say? Put that passage back up here. Because he is gentle and humble in heart. Things that seem unnatural for us, like not judging people, or like praying on a regular basis, or like loving our enemies, things that just don't seem natural at all. When we have a gentle and humble teacher, well, he makes those things like, well, he actually do them. My grandson just turned 5 on New Year's Eve. His name's Silas. Thanks for celebrating his birthday. This last summer, when he was 4 and a half, some of the things that we did was that we would take him to swim lessons. And Silas had a swim instructor. She was so great. She was gentle and humble in heart. Man, she was a great swim instructor. One of the things that she wanted Silas to learn how to do this summer was to learn how to and to enjoy swimming underwater. Not a natural act to swim underwater. And so the way she got him to do that, which was very unnatural, was that she would like take a toy that was weighted. And she would throw the weighted toy. It's like a flat disc or something like that, very colorful. And she'd throw it, and she, you know, you're in about like 4 foot of water. She'd throw it, and the thing would just drop down to the very bottom. And then she'd want Silas to try to swim down to the bottom, you know? So then he'd try once, and then, you know, he'd go under, and he'd come, you know, can't do that. And then she'd, you know, he'd swim over back to her. And, you know, he's just like, I can't do that. And then you know what she did? This is what she did. Then she took him like this, and she gently shoved him underwater like that. If I gently shoved my grandson underwater, his mother would never let him swim with me again. But she's a gentle, humble teen. She just pushed him like this. And, of course, he didn't make it the first time. He'd come up and go, oh, I can't do that. But he swam over to her, who he totally trusted. And she says, you okay? Yeah. Try to, yeah. And then she would gently shove him underwater. And then again, gently shove him until finally, gently shove. That's like those words don't go together, right? Like yoke and rest. When we're yoked, we do things that are not natural. We don't think we can do. I'll never forgive that person who hurt me so much. Gentle shove. Woof. Whoa, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Woof. Oh. I can actually forgive them. Not judge people. I gotta judge people. That's what we do today. Gentle shove. No. When we're yoked and we're connected to him, we do things that are unnatural. And he's there with us. The Holy Spirit gives us energy. And we're going down the same path as Jesus is going down. We don't do this. We don't do that. We don't do this. We're going down this path. And Jesus says, that leads to, when I do this, you can participate. It leads to, it's very profound. It's very profound. In fact, if I'm reading this correctly, there's kind of a principle. Jesus is saying that the outcome of being a disciple is what? Sounds like work to me. Yeah, that's the whole idea of this metaphor, you guys. These words don't go together. Like gently shoving a child. Yoke and rest. But it works because we're connected to a gentle and humble teacher. That's interesting, Pastor Chris. That's great. I never saw that passage like that before, but I don't know. You know, it's this whole idea of yoking, and it's just crazy, and I don't get it. It's hard for me to relate to a passage like this because we're not ancient Near Eastern farmers. None of us have ever plowed with oxen in a field before. It's hard to relate to. But all of us can relate to one of these things. Right? And when these things are drained, what do? We get one of these things right here. Right? And we got to plug this thing up every day. We may not read the Bible every day. We may not pray every day. But man, we hook these things up every day. And when we hook these things up, that limits them, doesn't it? You can't take this anywhere because you've got to be standing next to the power. Now listen, you guys. This is January 2nd. This is low-hanging fruit, you guys. Every time, really, this next week, this next month, every time, maybe it's at night, in the afternoon, when you get out one of these yokes, you remember this message. And you ask yourself the question, am I connected to Jesus the way I should be connected to Jesus? Am I learning from Jesus? Did I learn from Jesus today the kind of things that Jesus would want me to learn? Am I living my life today the way Jesus would live my life if he were me? Because Jesus says, when we are yoked, when we are yoked to him, we learn from the humble teacher and we find what? I didn't hear you. We find?
Rest.
How many of you believe that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are some exhausted people. And we have been spinning our wheels, doing one thing and another thing and another thing. And we have forgotten about the most important thing. Just like we have to connect our devices to a power outlet, we pray, Father, every night when we grab one of those white cords and we attach our device, as soon as we see that white cord, we will think about a yoke. And we will ask ourselves, am I connected to Jesus the way I should be connected? Maybe for some of us, it's really just as simple as just finding Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and just reading that over and over and over again. Maybe for some of us, it's just taking the time to just confess sins when we have judged people, when we don't love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to do the work of connection and learning that leads to rest. Pray this in Jesus' name and for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said, amen.
Amen. As we continue, we want to take just a moment to give all of us the gift of entering into this rest, of just taking a moment to be still, to take some deep breaths. Even this is worship. It's not just singing. Even as we ourselves seek God and as we seek to enter into his rest, that too is worship. So in a moment, I'm going to read from that passage in Matthew 11. But I want to invite you to make yourselves comfortable, whether you're watching online, at home, or you're here in the room. You can close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that. And then just take some deep breaths. It lets your body know that you're okay as you inhale and then slowly exhale. Maybe like me this past week, some of you, you took the week between Christmas and New Year's off. So my body feels rested. I feel pretty good in that way. Maybe you do too. But what I love in this passage is it's not just a physical rest. There's also a deeper kind of rest, rest for our souls, for our spirits that God longs to give to us. As he tells us that we're loved, that he's with us, that he's for us. He allows us to enter into the rest that he has for us. But to do that, we don't just abstain from activity and from doing things. We also need to be connected to a power source. We need to be connected to God. And so we're going to take a moment to do that. Let me read these words, and then as I do that, they'll be on your screens at home and as well as here in the room. You can look at those, or you can just close your eyes and let God know where you're feeling weary. But I invite you to seek him, to come to him and experience the rest that he has for us. Let me read these words from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Continue to soak in those words in a moment of quiet and stillness, and the band will lead us in a song in just a moment.
breathe deep and know that He is good. He's a love like no other.
Let's sing together. You.
hope that was just a good beginning to what we can practice on our own over the course of the next weeks and months and throughout this year of going to our source. Every time we plug in our phone, remembering to do that ourselves. And in this new year in 2022, maybe it's a year not to do more and to add more stuff and more things that we want to achieve, but at least alongside of those things, or maybe instead of some of those things, wanting to prioritize being connected to our source, of slowing down, of simplifying, of making our relationship with God and our pursuit of Him the main thing this year. So may that be true of us. A couple things to remember as we go from here. If you're looking forward to groups and signing up for something like that, or you want more information or just have questions about that, we would love to help you with that. So if you're here in the room, head on out to Connection Point. There'll be people out there. Ben and Tiffany are out there to help answer any questions that you might have. You can also head to the website for that. And let me reiterate the challenge that Chris gave us to dig in, to start with Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Begin reading and beginning to learn from Him what it looks like to follow Him and to be connected to Him in that way. So let's all do that together as well. For our benediction, as I send us out, not just into this week, but maybe even for the year, and this is our prayer, that we would be connected to Him, connected to our source, and that we would find rest for our souls. Let me read these words from Isaiah chapter 40. It says this: "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in Yahweh will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I pray that that's true of you in this year to come. Everybody set together. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.